Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to the Revolution of the Mind. It is Why You Mad Son Radio, new season, new vibe, new flavor, same old tricks, same old shenanigans, same old telling them why we are mad son. We do it here every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Good to be back. We have missed you guys so much. So much to discuss, so much to get off our chest, so much to tell you what we're mad about. Let's get the housekeeping issues out of the way real quick, and then we're going to take it right to the Mad Men. Every Tuesday, 10 p.m., y'all know the number, 917-889-2924. Hit the number one, we'll get you set up and ready to go. Make sure you visit our website at whyyoumadson.com. There you'll find links to our Facebook fan page, our show archives, the Madman Twitter feed. Make sure you follow us at Why You Mad Son. That's the handle on Twitter, so make sure you get that. Our show archive is also there on the website, so have a revolution of the mind on demand anytime. That's what's up. The Madman store, as always, is open. So get ahead, cop your T-shirt, rock the Madman on your chest. Let them know that you are down with the revolution of the mind. WYMS is syndicated on the Black Talk Radio Network. So for the best in Black Talk and live broadcast, make sure you visit them on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. So we had a great summer break. We have a lot to discuss. We got new fans, new listeners. Welcome back to the old listeners. Welcome back to the new listeners. Welcome to the new listeners, Mad Men. So it's time for us to introduce the nuclei of the Madman family. Starting out with Miss Nick Fatale. She tells us why she's mad each and every week. She does it in the sexiest of ways. She is a sexy pundit, but she will also cuss your ass to the white meat if necessary. Miss Nick Fatale, right. She is also known as the Sim Fatale. Tell them why you mad, son.
Meow. Okay. I'm mad at folks that don't read captions.
Mm-mm.
Why? Why? You could put all the information right there in the caption or in the article that you're posting, and some knucklehead will ask you that same joint all over again. This particular time, it was, when you going back on the air? When you going back on the air? When you going back on the air? So I post the link to the theatrical trailer. It says, we're back. We're coming back this Tuesday, September 15th. And some knucklehead says, when you going back on the air? I hate you. You should just everything that's wrong with the world. Just go sit down. Go sit down.
Next up for the Madman family, he is known as Agent 317. I like to call him Mr. Disrespectful because he tells you why he's mad in the most disrespectful but the most eloquent of fashions. So, Ronan, Agent 317, a.k.a. Mr. Disrespectful, tell him why you're mad.
I'm actually mad at an individual who we know as Carlos Anthony Hollins, better known as King Noble, who went on
King Noble
this past Wednesday. Yes. This past Wednesday.
What does this dude do?
And he made a threat to say they need to kill all white people. And the police are basically on this nigga's ass. You can't do that. You don't have white privilege. And I've seen the picture
exactly.
Of this dude. and he's going to be at my Sit Your Ass Down Award ceremony. I'm just going to let you know right up front.
Well, then, why you gave the prelude? Now we know what to expect. That's whack, son. What's going on?
No, this is needed.
I hear that. Well, I can't wait. Can't wait.
Glad to have
Next
y'all
up for the Madman family, none other than Glove. He is the head proprietor over at Know the Ledge on Facebook. So make sure you go ahead and type that in the search bar on Facebook, Know the Ledge. He is also the head researcher for the Madman show here, bringing you the words of the week and the jam of the week, none other than our main man, Glove. Tell him why you mad, son.
Hey, first of all, I'm glad that we are back. It's been a minute, so it feels good to be back. Now, I may sound petty, but whatever.
Awesome.
But Dr. Umar need to give us a shout out or something. Ever since he came on our show, seven, this dude is getting reality show deals. Dude ain't got his own action figures. I mean, come on. We don't want to put you out there. Ever since then, you started going skyrocketing. Give us a shout out or something. Hey. Something.
Well, listen. It's like anything else. When you climbing up the ladder, do you take a look at the step behind you? Do you really expect that to really happen, Glove?
Hey, so we're
gonna
have to.
We're gonna have to work on the way back down.
We're gonna have to work on that.
That's how it go. It bees like that sometimes. We see you on the way back down, boo boo.
But Glove.
Nick, you ain't
Glove,
sure
I was
for
about
that.
To say.
You ain't.
Oh well.
I was about to get on your case about being petty, but you're right. You're right. Let's be petty.
Glove is petty Pendergrass.
He hit it first is what it is. He gave it up.
Next up for the Madman family. He is one of our head writers over at the Madman Chronicles. He is also known as Buffy the White Girl Slayer. None other than Juan. Tell him why you mad, son.
Yo, I'm mad at all y'all hating females who's throwing shade at Kermit the Frog because he got him an upgrade.
You know Kermit.
Okay. First of all, he's been in a relationship with Miss Piggy for 40 years, and Miss Piggy did not hesitate to karate chop his ass for no damn reason, okay? He was in an abusive relationship with Miss Piggy, okay? I know. He's bad enough. He already messing with the pig because it says in Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 8, saying, you know, and the swine because it devoureth the hoof, yet he shall not the cut, but it's unclean unto you. You shall eat the flesh and dead carcass.
Wow.
It is so messed up that y'all throwing shade because he wanted to get out of an abusive relationship. Okay, green lives matter.
Wait, y'all. Did he really just break down the Bible verse?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
Miss Piggy
wow.
and
I had to make sure.
But y'all
That's
ain't never
right.
think that he was just the submissive in the relationship, and maybe they had an S&M relationship. Maybe it was BDSM.
Well, I'm mad that y'all are breaking it down.
I'm just saying. Everybody talks about him getting his butt beat. He might have liked it. I'm just saying.
Nah, they had arguments and stuff. He's been trying to get away for the longest, but, you know, green lives matter, damn it.
Look, so now, speak to yourself.
Easy being green.
I'm mad. Next up for the Madman family, he is known as Craig G. the Hater. He brings the hate each and every single week. If you say yes, he say no. You say blue, he says aqua. Bringing the hate with his old hate.
Believe that.
Craig G. the
Believe
Hater.
It.
Tell them why you
All right, so I'm gonna take it from the lighthearted to the real serious. I'm mad at the white propaganda media machine of America and all of their bullshit about never forget 9/11, never forget the Alamo, never forget that. As soon as a black person say, "Well, let's talk about slavery," why don't y'all get over that?
Forget
Mother
it.
Effer.
Mm-hmm.
9/11 was a long time ago. Let it go. If we gotta let slavery go, y'all gotta let all that shit go.
That ain't gonna happen.
But I could be mad about it.
Yes, you can, and you should be mad.
Yep.
Now, did everybody go? Because I don't want to get yelled at for forgetting somebody.
October.
Looking out, Boogie.
Yep. Listen, it has been a long hiatus. They done deleted me stuff. I'm looking at it's just too much going on. I'm frazzled over here. I'm frazzled. Is it my turn?
Are we sure? Did everybody go?
Are we sure?
Did we ask our guest while he was
mad? No. He comes in after the jam of the week.
All right, then forget him. Anyway, y'all know what time it is. Time to bring the HMIC to our driver's seat. HMIC, if you don't know, or maybe you forgot over our vacation, that's for Head Madman in Charge. And she is just that. She is our producer and host of Why You Mad Son Radio, this here ride that you're taking tonight. She is the CEO of Why You Mad Son Entertainment. She is our director extraordinaire on two upcoming projects, Six Mad Men and Super in Harlem. She's also working on a project to highlight black filmmakers like herself and provide them a venue or an event to go to show their work and have people in their age group, in their genre, appreciate it, love it, see it, and support it. That's called the Hip Hop Film Festival, NYC.com, all together, all right? We're going to bring her to the forefront because we've missed her, and we got to know what hit her radar, and after all this time, why she mad? Boogie? Boogie, why you mad?
Yes, ma'am. I'm mad because I got to live up to all that shit you just said just now.
Girl, you do that. Just knock it off.
Got to live up to all of that. Goddamn, doing all of that.
But did we really miss her?
I get overwhelmed or something. Huh?
Did we really miss you? I don't know. Yeah, I think we should take a break.
Hell yeah. I got to know.
You know what? Shut up.
What's she mad at? Shut up.
It's my turn, goddammit. So listen, I'm mad because out of everything that's been going on in the world, the one thing that popped across my radar today, and I was just like, really? A woman over in London has been charged with a crime of like rape or sexual assault over there for tricking her girlfriend into believing that she was a man and sexually assaulting her with a strap-on dildo. Now, this is the truth.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Wow.
Yes.
Go
the
say
chick
that
is
again.
In jail.
Say that again. What?
Wait, what? All right, so bust it. It's this woman, right? She and dig it. She had a crush on her best friend, right? So the best friend, so she said, I'm going to contact her over the internet. She contacted her over the internet and posed as a man. Told the girl, listen, let's meet up, and, you know, try to make her fall in love with her and all types of stuff. Met up with the girl. They had a relationship over 2 years, never really done anything. They had sex about 5 times, and every time they had sex, she tells her, we got to wear a blindfold because I've had surgery or something, and I'm anxious about how I look. So the friends is like, oh, all right. Now I'm thinking to myself, what kind of dumb bitch is this? You saying all right, blindfolded every time? I can't see what's up. So anyway, this woman has disguised herself as a man, so now when it's time to have sex, she puts the strap on, all right, does it to the girl. Now on the last time they did it, the girl felt like something was wrong, so she reached around and felt like a strap. She pulls off the blindfold and realizes she's getting strapped on by a woman. It's just crazy. So she calls the police, has her best friend arrested for bamboozling her, thinking that she was a man the entire 2 friggin' years and having sex with her with a strap.
Wow.
I couldn't believe that I was reading. This is real. This is not Scopes and Snopes or nothing like that. This is real. Look it up, folks. Look it up. She is sitting in jail right now.
Wow.
Because she tricked a woman into believing that she was a man and had a sexual relationship. All you down low brothers better take notice. It's going down. And I hope they get all of y'all. They need to bring that girl over here.
Wow, my mind is blown.
It speaks a lot to, you know, you know, we're going through a lot of this stuff with this this homosexual revolution and, you know, people being proud and them getting all these civil rights and things like that when black folk can't even walk down the street in peace. But we ain't going to talk about that.
Wow.
But
that's
with
another
that
show.
Comes accountability. Be gay or you want. But tricking people is not cool. Then you want to get mad when you get punched in the face.
That
so,
is crazy.
Kudos to London for putting that on blast and putting it out there. Listen, love who you want to love, but tricking people into believing you are one sex when you are really the other?
Mm-hmm.
No bueno. No bueno, my man. No bueno. No bueno. What y'all think about that story?
All right.
That's absolutely bananas.
My mind is blown. That is crazy.
How the heck are you going to go 2 years without slobbing the knob? I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. I mean, like, okay.
How do you,
this
2 years?
How did that happen for two? I'm like...
Wear a blindfold each and every time.
Why? Like,
no,
okay,
two,
this was a
women.
Dude.
It was two women.
This
was
a dude getting deceived by another dude. Then everybody was side eye on that dude thing. You could not know. You know?
Right.
She probably always had her suspicion. And then all of a sudden, when the truth came out, she just felt hurt. But I bet you she knew. She probably just was in denial.
Look,
maybe.
That shit knew. She knew.
That first clue was all them long conversations. Man. First clue. Fight to sit there and talk to you all damn night. What are you talking about, girl?
Now listen. I have seen some gay women who look just like men. You would
yeah.
not be able to tell that these were women. You feel me?
Yeah, but if they
so
still got the downstairs,
the
there it is.
Y'all,
how
she
you
never
doing?
Let her touch the downstairs. She never let her touch the downstairs. They had to
yeah,
have
she wrong.
Well,
No.
That's
done,
where
the other,
wrong.
The other chick done had sex with a man before, so she should know what that feels like.
That's what I'm
yeah.
saying. How you doing?
Ain't no chick
not
in
if she, not if she's sitting
a
behind
does.
A computer
I'm sorry.
For two. No. Not if she's sitting behind a computer for 2 years and falling in love with somebody on the other side of a screen.
And that's the second
that
mistake she
stuff,
made.
Man.
Well, I'm going to say this. With all due respect, she didn't fall in love with the individual. She fell in love with her fantasy. And she got fucked over a little bit over that.
Mm.
So I just say
preach.
You can't spend 2 years talking on the internet without having to meet up somewhere in that time and seeing what this individual is. If you were that lazy and that special kind of stupid, then it is what it is.
Mm.
You get what you get.
That's what
yeah.
I'm saying. Ain't no man going to sit there and do that and not try to meet you.
He going to meet you.
He going to try to meet you.
That was
well, listen,
that
let's
was
get to the
right
show
there.
Because we have a great topic to get to tonight. We are talking about black culture vultures. Are black Americans
right.
misappropriating African culture? Let's forget all of that London weirdness for a second. We got some real issues to discuss. You know what I'm saying? And it's real. I ran across this article by this African lady. Her name is Zipporah Jean. And her first statement was, "Black America, please stop appropriating African clothing and tribal marks." And I was like, oh, okay, I see where you're going with this. I've seen a couple of brothers running around in dashikis and with symbols on them. And they didn't know what it meant, whether it's East Africa, West Africa. I could see the point. So we're going to debate that tonight. But in the meantime, let's get into the jam of the week, and after which we're going to introduce to you our very special guest, Mr. Charles Clark. Can't wait for you guys to meet him, and we're going to get into the show. Today's jam of the week, old school. We're going to bring it to you. X-Clan, raise the flag. Let's do it.
Mm.
Hit you on the flip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I just read
the black and the green.
Dynamic, articulate, perceptive, courageous, outspoken.
One man is not a nation. Brother builds a clan. Strengthens in the circle, creates the better man. The colors, the brothers, the key, the motherland. This calls us to assemble this black band. Red, black, and green are the colors of the flag on the rise. Cause the nation shouldn't guide. I'm ever flowing as a compass, sons and daughters. Knowledge leads the way, so I flow like Nas. American, rebel of authority, majority. Why I'm so called my
like a sellout. While society gets stronger and stronger, my race is weaker and weaker. Maybe I can make a difference to a mic and a speaker. So my lyrics flow different than a hip-hop bebop. My controller, who turns out to be the flop. My wisdom, God-given, exercise, quantum rhythm. Power positive and strictly Bible, that's how I'm living. Fortress we establish, hide so none attack it. Back to the ways of our mathematic blackness. They can't solve, it's something they can't catch. Took respect of our lives, and I'm snatching it back. Power flows in the nation, there is life in the key. Let us all bind together in the red, the black.
Because I was especially lost. I'm sorry not to laugh. Oh, stop, y'all. Stop.
Oh,
I can't.
Oh, my soul hurts. My soul hurts.
You know, this show ain't for everybody. You know what
I'm saying? Oh,
shit. We done fussed around and lost our breath.
You messed up again.
So they not ready. What the hell is going on? But, so listen, y'all. Madness. Listen,
oh,
listen. I'm crying over here. I'm dying. So listen, our special guest was a reformed crack dealer, and he turned into a pastor. So.
I'm not.
I can't. Lord Jesus. So, after I finish the dildo story, right?
Fuck is I'm out.
I looked at the phone.
I should have been with you.
He was like, click.
Oh,
God.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, I'm over here crying. Oh, wait.
I am hoping that maybe he just lost his connection.
I hope he didn't.
Or something. And maybe he'll call back. But we are over here behind the scenes dying laughing because maybe he just wasn't ready for what we were about to be talking about.
Ooh.
And I think that, you know, sometimes when people, when they're born again and now they was running the streets and now they reformed and they're, you know, about that word of God, you can't have your people listening, tuning in, and we talking about dildos and people getting arrested for... But I'm saying, but that's what's going on in the church. Maybe because I tried to download people. You know what? Let me show you.
Just stop.
And then I have a lot to explain.
Just stop.
I can't. Just let it go. Let it go.
Hey, you said that as long as it's newsworthy.
Wow.
You set the ground rules.
Oh, man.
Listen.
Wow.
Okay, so listen, that's all I have to say. Everything ain't for everybody. So listen, we're going to go ahead with the show, and we're going to come back to that at the end of the show. Let's see what happens, okay? Let's see if he, you know, if he comes back in and find him, maybe the call is live. Maybe he was chill with what we were talking about.
Maybe he just, maybe he just got disconnected.
So unprofessional.
I just said maybe he got disconnected.
First night back.
This is all y'all fault. This is why we can never have church folk on the show. Because y'all drive them off every fucking time with your cursing and loud mouthing.
That was not a network TV word that you just used right there. And you was the one with the dildo story that ran them off.
Hey, look, I brought a little church clip. I talked about Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 8.
Yeah, he did mention Deuteronomy. He felt safe. And then here come Boogie with the damn random dildo story from the UK and scared the man off. Renegade dildo.
That is so horrible. Mm-mm. Oh, my God. I feel so bad. So listen, let's just move on. Let's get to our favorite segment, which is go sit your black ass down the wall. Let's get into it. Oh my God. Welcome, saints and sinners. It is time for the go sit your black ass down the wall for the week. It's been a long time. We know you've been well, and we are here to bring it to you. Y'all know the rules. Each and every week, each madman presents their case of the person they believe should go sit their black ass down for the rest of the week. Now, since we have lost our special guest,
there's no one to decide who the winner is.
We are going to take a vote to decide who gets the award this week. So, let's start off with Ms. Nick Fatale. Who is your nominee for the Ghost Teacher Black Ass Dad Award? All right.
My nominee is Boogie. She could have had any number of things today, but she chose to be mad about some old renegade dildo wearing chick in the UK and caused us to lose our first guest of the season. So, that being said, she is my nominee.
Wow.
Y'all go throw it on me. I'm already dead.
I don't even know if we need to have any more nominees. We should just go ahead and run with that.
Oh, Lord.
It's unanimous.
Y'all go do that. I love this show.
Like, what else is there to even talk about at this point?
Oh.
Nah,
wow.
Y'all gonna do me like that, son.
Listen. It's not like he's like the girl's best friend, all right?
<I'm just saying. laughs> Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Nick, you ain't shit for that. I'm regaining my composure. I'm going to take back control of this. Roman.
Holy shit.
Who is your nominee for the Go Sit Your Black Ass Down Award for the week?
Just vote for Boogie. Just vote for Boogie.
I'm gonna stick to King Noble just to be different, but damn, Boogie got that shit right. And she right now.
That's why she laughing. She
wait a minute. Let's just get this straight. Are y'all all voting for me to go to
no,
my
I'm
black ass down
for
the week?
I'm voting.
No,
for
I think I think we should take the vote early. I think we should vote right now because I think it should be unanimous across the board that this week's Go Sit Your Ass Down Award goes to Boogie for messing up the first show.
Been 10 minutes into the dang show.
Right.
Is this a unanimous thing? Everybody feel this way?
Stand it up for
shit,
my.
Let's take a vote.
I'm gonna vote for my. That's right. I'm voting for my nominee.
I vote for Boogie as well.
I second that.
I concur.
Wow. All right. Well, the eyes have it. Ms. Nick Patel, you get to say the word this week. Let's put the music on for you.
Oh, we love you, Boogie. But sometimes you got to stand, you overstepping your bounds just a little bit. You got to sit your black ass down. Hallelujah. So say it to the Lord.
All right, I'll take that L. See, I'm good sport. I'll take that L. That's all right. I'll take it.
You just got handed that one.
I'll take that L.
So listen, I'm going to try to maintain some dignity right now. And let's get back to the topic at hand. Let's not talk about them, though. We ain't going to talk about that anymore. Stop bringing up old shit. Stop bringing up old shit.
We not.
That is funny as hell. That is just funny as hell.
Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. Okay, so listen.
Get together. That's old shit now. Wrap it up.
We're talking this week about black culture vultures. Are black Americans misappropriating African culture? So before we get into it, let's hear the words of the week that Glove pulled for us. It's from a young African guy. He is in fashion, and he's talking about the misappropriation of black culture. So listen closely. His accent is a little thick, but once you get used to it, you know, you'll be able to understand what he's talking about. But he's talking specifically about the exploitation of black culture. So we'll hit you on the flip right after this.
Yo, what's up? My name is Mpumelelo Lofula. The streets know me as Fry Pan. I'm the founder and manager of RHTC Online Store. I was part of the panel for the Youth Trend Panel for Social Media Week, and you're watching AFK Insider. We all know how land used to belong to black folk and how it was taken from them in fair, sometimes in mostly unfair ways. And with that, we get to understand that we come from a people that used to feed themselves, they used to clothe themselves, used to sing their own songs. So clearly, culture was ours. So black culture all over the world sells big brands. Black American culture, go to any continent, black culture sells. But the problem is black culture doesn't own what they sell. And now it's gone beyond race, because of the internet, we brought together by common principles. So cool kids from Latin background, from a Black American, or from a Black African background now relate to each other. But the problem is we still don't own the culture that these large corporations make millions off. Right now, we've recognized that we're people of time and not space, because we've never owned space for a very long time. You see? So we understand time, and the internet is time and not space, right? So right now, we have the power to use this window period to take back and share equally what we've all contributed to, which is modern times, modern culture, and so forth. So right now, like in Bramfontein, which is an equivalent of what Brooklyn is to New York, a lot of money is coming in from these big corporations and they're investing. However, we fertilize the soil. So right now, it's just a matter of us finding ways to balance this whole thing and have us being somewhat of beneficiaries. We should be taking 80%, but right now we're settling for 20%, but we know that with good time, we'll catch up and it'll all equate. I think the most important thing for us right now is not to overly glamorize what the internet means to us, because it's free, it's great, it gives us great rewards, it gets us to a point whereby we can sit in these panels and have these interviews, it's all nice. But the most important thing, we should realize that we should make a lot of sacrifices, and we should be those who are breaking walls for those like us who are coming up for things to be easy for them. So that's what we do. So I'm not the main beneficiary of the internet, but I'm hoping my little brother or my son will be the main beneficiary. And it's really up to us in which direction we take it, because it's a fairly new thing, especially in this time and space. So it's the whole mission should be all philosophical and really about taking back what we sold and we made millions for other people for.
All right, so the young man was talking about cultural misappropriation, and if it was a little bit too hard for you to understand what he was saying, he is from Africa, so sometimes, you know, gets lost in translation, especially with the accent. But what he was saying is that we are the creators, and yet we are not the owners. Mm-hmm. There's no financial windfall for us as the creators of the fashion, of the music. Large corporations come in to Africa, and they take all the ideas, and they make the money off of the people's original product, and then come back, sell it to them, and then take the money away. And where Black people languish is that they also are buying it from the large corporation instead of keeping that money in house, producing it themselves, and doing it themselves, and buying it from themselves. So that's what he was talking about. How do you guys feel about that? Wait, before we do, let's take a caller. I promise we get to him. We got a call in the 347 with the 2244 exchange. Caller, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you. What's your name, Paula?
My name is Scott, a.k.a. Ghetto Jedi the Poet. I wanted to comment to some other things that you guys are talking about, but it's all good. I'll speak on anything right now. I'm just happy to be here.
No. Go ahead and speak on what you wanted to speak on, brother.
Okay, no, I respect. First of all, let me just say that I respect what you guys are doing. Props to y'all. More love. Like, I appreciate what you guys are doing. My name is Scott Theodore Randolph, a.k.a. Ghetto Jedi, the poet. And you were talking about quite a few things. You know what I mean? I can't pick up on everything, but you guys are talking about quite a few things. But, you know, I think in terms of what Black people are doing right now, we're allowing everybody and anybody to come in and take what we got, what we created, and capitalize on it, and then manipulate it and send it back to us, and we buy it because we're like, as if we're so gullible. Like, it's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, I can't stand it. I cannot stand it. Like, really. I'm proud to say I'm a 54-year-old black man and coming from Brownsville, Brooklyn. I've seen it all. I've seen it all. And it's difficult to deal with. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So,
I feel you.
Yeah.
Well, we definitely appreciate you calling in, sir.
Okay. I hear you. That's cool. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to get on the radio and share this with you. You know what I mean? But in terms of
no
like,
problems. Listen. After the shenanigans we just had, you are very much.
Oh,
we
man.
Stop bringing up old shit. Stop bringing up old shit. I really wanted to ask you a question in terms of the segments and your programming and stuff like that. I'm a spoken word artist and a very
mm-hmm.
good one at that. I've been doing it for quite a while. And I just wanted to inquire as to when you actually allow people to come in and, like, share some of their stuff. Like, you know, what's going on? What's your platform like? Is it only the specific topic that you're talking about at a particular time? Or are you kind of open to everything? Like, what's going on?
Well, the format of the show is we do have a topic that we talk about when we come to the round table. But before that, it's mostly anything goes. So if you want to feel free to, you know, drop us a piece, you got to keep it under 30 seconds to a minute or so because we got to do the show. But anytime you got something uplifting, positive, funny, we love stuff that's funny but talks to the real. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We love it. We welcome it. We hear about uplifting the people, so that's what we do here.
I appreciate that. You said under 30 seconds. I do not have an under 30 seconds funny poem, but I do have an under 30 seconds relevant poem to our people, and I think, you know, it's called Hold This. It's very short. Can I give it to you right now?
Yes, please, drop it.
All right, cool. Hold this. Get these words as if your embrace alone would help me save my life so that I might live to give my tomorrow's attainment for yesterday's death. My reluctant consciousness of my regrets is the price. I relive past failure through endless nights. Release is wrapped tight in a bitter pill, and I swallow it at will because I desire these wounds to heal. The future conceals hopes and happiness that I've yet to feel, but with this, you may present a fresh foundation on which to reveal. So I reach for your compassion that is strong and steel. The peace I seek is real. This is my truth that you feel. May you cherish my conscience and hold this. That's it.
Yes.
All right.
That's what's up.
Yeah, brother. That's what's up.
Thank you.
I'm feeling it. I'm digging it. Hey, listen,
that's
you can call
up
in anytime you want to. Bless us with a piece. Make sure you keep it short like that.
No problem.
Short and sweet, direct to the point, something that people could, you know, jive with. That was great. Thank you, son. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, people. Please continue to do what you do. Again, calling from Harlem, New York. Ghetto Jedi, the poet, representing Verbal Alchemy. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Have a good night. Keep listening. I will.
Right,
and I'm actually going to tell other people to listen as well, okay?
That's what's up.
So, hello.
That's what it's about.
All right, peace.
That's what
thanks.
It's about, baby. All right, baby.
Yeah.
See, that's what it's about. It's about that love.
I like
it's
that.
About that. Yeah. I feel
people
good
people get
now.
Inspired and they call in and they want to share something. That's what's up.
Yeah, he wasn't scared of dildos.
He was good. Well, no. See, here we go.
So listen, Mad Men, it's time to take your seats around the round table. You're hitting this early tonight. It's 10:40.
Check your seat. Make sure there ain't no dildo on it.
Maybe we can get out of here. Maybe we can get out of here on time tonight. Right. So let's do it, Mad Men. Take your seat. Let's do this. Denzel, bring us on.
The shit's chess, it ain't checkers. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. I said you protect the sheep by killing the motherfucking wolves. No, you didn't hear me. You listening, but you didn't hear me. It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. I've been planning it all week, son.
You know, this show really isn't for everybody. I would not sit through the Denzel Washington and call it everybody a motherfucker. I just couldn't do it.
Listen, I just want to say to all of y'all, I hate all of y'all. I hate every single last one of y'all.
And then to make matters worse, y'all gonna give me to go sit your black ass down the water of the week. Don't do this to me.
Nope. You
wait. Looking cases on all you
bitches. Is that the
Get
first
it.
Unanimous? Sit your ass down the wall.
Yes, that is the
yes,
first
it
unanimous.
Is.
That had to be the quickest.
I'm
going
to have to, you know what? You bitch, main fool motherfuckers. You going to do this. King Kong ain't got
you
shit for me.
We're going to shut everybody, Mike.
I'm going to go and train it, baby. All y'all. Anyway, so listen, let's get to this topic, because it's serious. We often talk about the difference between being black and being African American, right? So we've talked about this before. And while we were on break, I had a discussion with someone, and I was saying, you know, listen, hey, I consider myself to be a black American, because while I know where my ancestry comes from, I know nothing about it. My actual culture is black American culture, not white American culture, not even American culture. My culture is black American culture. We have a unique experience that is unique to any people in the world, and it is ours, and it is built on American soil. So to read this article by this young woman, her name is Zipporah Jean. She said, "Black America, please stop appropriating African clothing and tribal marks." She asked, can black people culturally appropriate one another? So when we put on dashikis, when we wear ankhs, when we put on the fish, when we do all these, we call ourselves Yoruba priests and run around talking broken Swahili and all the things that we do, trying to relate to the native land, do we insult their culture, their history, their spiritual faith? Do we insult that? What do you guys think of this topic? Let's start out with Ms. Nixatown.
I think anything that's done without the knowledge of the materials that you're using, whether it be the ankh, whether it be a dashiki or a head wrap, if you have no knowledge of that item or its origin or where it comes from, it can be insulting. It can be insulting to people who do have that knowledge. But I feel like majority of the people that I've come in contact with that do like these things, that do wear head wraps, that do wear dashikis or beads or what have you, they do have the knowledge of it, and they have a desire to reconnect with that part of them that they lost, that, you know, their whole family essentially lost. So they're not doing it out of ignorance, and they're not doing it to misappropriate. They're doing it to establish some kind of connection. So I don't feel that it's insulting. Maybe it might be a little misguided, but I don't think that it's insulting or it's meant to be misappropriating someone else's culture. I think it's just a way to connect for them.
Right. Gloves.
Yes,
let's hear about a few. Do you think that this is kind of like Africans look at us, like how we look at Rachel Dozell? When we go to Afropunk and throw on mad garb, have no idea that the two tribes don't supposed to go together, and we walking around just as proud as we can be. Do you think that they have a right to feel insulted like some of them do?
Hell yes. This is why.
Mm.
All right. We want to be. Do what?
Go ahead, Glow.
Okay. I said we want to be connected to Africa as if it's a country and not a continent. And that's a big problem right there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever see any other nation within a continent try to embrace
another country. You don't ever see that. You don't see the Chinese trying to embrace Japanese culture and vice versa. No, they would have beef with that. There would be an issue. Africans over there, they feel the same way. You don't see tribes or anything trying to go and hop on to another culture because it's cool or because they want to connect to that. This is okay to embrace a continent and be as your own, but you got to be who you are. You got to, we are the only, Black America, we are the only nation that don't really embrace or create a culture of our own. Everywhere else, in the islands, South America, they create a culture in respect to the continent of Africa. But we don't. We just look at what's going on in Africa, and they want to feel empowered, and boom, that's what it is. That's just like Rachel Dolezal, whatever her last name is. She didn't mean no harm, but at the same time, she was trying to be something that she really is not, and we felt offended by that because that's not who you are. Be who you are in respect to embracing our struggle, our cause, and what we are about. That's what they say.
I feel you. Both you and Nick have valid points. I mean, it's like you want to connect. That's where you're from. We came here under harsh circumstances. We were stolen from the land. But then love has a point. Someone from there now has been centuries removed at this point. I mean, it is.
It's
we don't
valid.
Mean any harm. But there is a misappropriation going on. If I'm running around with a dashiki on and I have absolutely no meaning when I'm making up stuff, someone who actually is from that tribe, is of that culture, is
they will be offended.
That would probably have a problem with it. Yeah.
But at the same, while I agree with what Glove is saying, also when you use someone like Rachel Dolezal, you know, that person, even though, like he said, she may have meant well, what have you, this is a person who, within her culture, had no connection to our culture other than being, you know, so many centuries removed from being the oppressor. So now I'm looking at you like, it's
she
read
felt
a little
connected
bit differently.
She,
but she felt
she
connected
black
because
men,
she had
so.
Learned so much. She did actually go and do research, and she was head of African Studies, so she had done her research. She was knowledgeable of it. She just immersed herself so far into her studies that she was just like, this is who I am. Now I'm a whole different person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, a lot of our people don't do the research. I had one person today, man, on Facebook, actually was saying that she's proud to be dark-skinned with kinky hair and all this stuff, being blackest of the black, because that is the real black woman in Africa. Not understanding
what?
There's so many shades. That's what she said. And really believe that. She's saying that every other shade was fraudulent, that the real blackness is in Africa, and she represents that of a woman, of a person.
What? I mean, now see, that's crazy, and that's overreaching. That's overreaching. Like you don't know. Come
but
on.
We find that a lot of conscious people, and I hate. I like to say I have knowledge of self. I don't categorize myself as in the conscious movement, because they are the most judgmental group.
Oh my gosh!
Hateful group of people that I have come across. And I can't understand the bias. If you were truly conscious, you'd understand that we're all human. Ain't nobody better than
but they're
anybody
American.
Else.
They're American.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But they were the first ones, women of dashiki and singing in Yoruba.
And calling
and
you
misappropriating everything.
And calling
you know what I'm saying? So until they come up on a real African, until they come up on a real African, and then that's when the situation changes. The story changes.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to tell that African man
what
his symbol means. And you have never seen this symbol before. You just saw it at the flea market on 115th Street at the African market and thought it was cute. Without realizing you might be wearing a symbol of a god that you knew nothing about. And
but
using
also,
it in the wrong way.
Exactly. But also, you know, you have to be open to receive that knowledge. And on the other side, you have to be open to share that knowledge. If you see a brother or a sister wearing something or about to purchase something and you think, oh, they're about to purchase this just because they think it's cute or whatever, why not share that knowledge and be like, well, you know, this fabric originates from this place, or, you know, did you know about the history of this symbol? Did you know that this represents?
Mm-hmm.
And share that knowledge, because you don't know if that conversation that you have with that person might expand his mind, make him go look for more information. You don't know. So you have a responsibility. If that is your culture, if you're saying if you're from Africa and you see someone that's misusing something from your culture, I would say share the knowledge. At least don't let them walk away ignorant. That's the same way I would be if I was in a record store and I heard somebody say, oh, this is the first time somebody did something, dropped a hot verse on this song, and I know for a fact that it happened before, and before this cut that you're talking about, I'm going to share that knowledge. I'm going to be like, no, you need to listen to this. And this is the first time somebody dropped a hot verse on this song, you know?
Mm. It makes me wonder. I'm gonna go to Ronan next. But it makes me wonder, remember when Coming to America came out?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I wonder if, you know, our African brothers and sisters felt slighted or felt away now. Now that we're really having this discussion. Things that we take for granted.
I wonder
if they feel insulted by that movie when they watch it. It's such a black American classic.
That's a good point.
It's such a black American classic.
And
now, we thought it was respectful. It showed them in this great, beautiful light. But they might have been like, well, why you ain't use real Africans? What the hell? You don't know nothing about our ceremonies or how we do this or how we would dress or how we would present a queen to be to. What is this? Why is this man singing about diseases in the middle of a ceremony? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never thought about that before. Like, how did they view that? Like, was it something that they sat through and they cringed, you know, the whole time? Like, or did they see a little bit of humor in it, even though these actors that were playing Africans were not actually African or actually from Africa? Did they find the humor in it? Like, that's
the same way we feel when we see Exodus and it's white people playing black people.
Like, you had to know that you would suspect that they felt they took a hit on that. Like, what is this? You know?
Are we just guilty of misappropriation?
That movie, I don't know if they took it wrong or not. One is the comedy, so they gotta be aware that it's a comedy. Two, and two, it was more saying more respectful of what they are about, taking away all the stereotypes that Africa was put upon, and making American culture look bad.
But how do you know that for sure? We don't know. Hold on. Right, because it's like, Let's go to Ronan. Let's give him an opportunity to jump in on it. Ronan, what do you think about the about black people misappropriating African culture? Do you think that's even possible, being as that we have African blood running through us? We should be able to be like, you know what, I like that symbol, and if I mismatch them, so fuck what? I am African, I'm from African, even though I'm a black American. It gets confusing, but should we be able to do what the hell we want with anything from the continent? Can we claim it?
Well, the thing is, like, before we claim it, we have to become a lot more familiar with it than we have been recently. And a lot of times when it comes to a lot of things of our culture, we want to claim things, but then we don't want to do the history or even know why it's important to even bring it up. So when you have someone who is a complete stranger to something that they heard about, you know, their so-called inheritance, they squander it easily, just like with our music or everything that we create. We're so willing to include everybody else into it, but then when it comes to other people, they keep a tight lid on their stuff. Us, we try to, you know, be the Rainbow Coalition and share with everybody, and we're getting fucked over in the end. So, you know, that's how I feel about it.
Let's take it to Juan. Juan, can black people misappropriate each other?
Can we misappropriate each other? To a certain extent, yes. I mean, even you can look at the hip hop culture. I mean, think about this. This, wrap your head around this for a second. Look at 10 years ago when, you know, maybe like 10 years ago when Cash Money and the No Limits was kind of on and popping, and how the music industry kind of shunned them and look at that. Oh, that South stuff is whack. That South stuff is whack. And then fast forward 10 years later, now you got guys like Fetty Wap from New Jersey who sounded like he's from the South. They turned around, called it back, and turned around and sold it back to us. Like, oh yeah, this is the hot stuff. You know, I mean, and it reminds me. I saw an interview with an OG Ron G from Swisher House Records. You know, same cats that you know, Paul Wall and Chameleon Air and Mike Jones and them guys are from. And to an extent, you know, because they were making money, you know, beforehand, you know, when they was on the underground doing their thing, booking their own tours, booking their own shows. And, you know, OG Ron G, he said, the worst thing that they ever did was go to the majors. Because basically, you know, the labels took their style, prepackaged it, and look what's happening right now. Everybody's sounding like they from the South. Everybody's hitting them, got the beats with the 808 drums and stuff like that. There's no even, you look at the music, you can't even tell who's from the East Coast, who's from the West Coast, who's from the South. Come on, you got Fetty Wap sounding like he Gucci now? Come on, dude. And we do that with each other. You know, it's become so discombobulated and so, you know, meshed together so much, you don't even have the same regional sounds no more with the music.
So you think that this young African woman who wrote this article that said, you know what, black people, hands off my culture, you think she had a point? She was right?
Yes, I think she does have a point. I had a conversation with a young lady who was from Egypt, you know, black Egyptian, you know, beautiful looking woman. And we were speaking about this, and she said that the one thing that like, probably pissed her off was the fact that, you know, you got the black folks that's over here, you know, appropriating Egyptian culture, you know, talking about, you know, okay, they wearing the ankh. And, you know, saying, oh, my people is from Egypt. We came from kings and queens. Knowing damn well, look, our people, we originated from West Africa, the Sierra Leone, the Congo, modern-day Liberia. That's where we came from. A lot of our people that were brought over here, we were basically like POWs. We were captured. You know, we were sold off by, you know, the other warring African tribes. We were basically prisoners of war, and we got sold off. You know, it wasn't like we were actually kings or whatever. Maybe somewhere down the line, you know, whoever lost the battle, maybe so to speak. But we were like second class citizens. They you know, they was like, you know, well, we don't need these guys here. Take them. You know, we were sold off. You know, and we came over here, and unfortunately, you know, because we don't have an identity, we don't have, you know, we're facing an identity crisis. We don't have some sort of identity. We're trying to pick up on any little thing that's out there. You know, we're trying to get back to that, you know, maybe have some sort of, you know, to make us feel good about ourselves.
You know what's so deep about what you just said, Juan? You know what's so deep about what you just said? It speaks to the mental trauma that we have. So, like, let's say there's so many, especially in the conscious community, that talk that kings and queens bullshit and the Egypt. I came from, you know, we came from, and they quick to throw up that statue of the pharaohs and so on and so forth. And just like you said, the majority of us were brought from the tip of from West Africa. Is it so that we're so busy trying to create a greatness within us because we've been beat and battered down for so long that we not only just attach ourselves to Africa but to the greatest thing about that continent, which are kings and queens. I know not one black person that will say, you know what, I come from people that were, you know, lost the war, and we were refugees, and we got sold over here, we got captured. Everybody and they got their mama says, oh, we was kings and queens.
Yeah.
My name was, you know what I'm saying? It speaks to kind of a reality check that we as black people need to have. And this is maybe why we don't take the time to really learn about the cultures in Africa, because then the truth, the real truth that we probably know for ourselves subconsciously would come to light. Nigga, you wasn't no king or no queen. You was just like everybody else, and your ass got captured and brought over here.
And something else to bring up too. I mean, So they quickly talk about the entire continent. Look at how many countries are in Africa. Okay, you got the sub-Saharan region where the colors of the people, you have the Moroccans up there, the Sudan, the, you know, the Syrians and stuff like that. That's up there in those areas. You know, the skin tone and all that. Those are all different folks up there. You know, everybody, you know, you're talking about an entire continent. You can't sit here and claim an entire continent. Nobody over here, you know, comes up, oh, well, yeah, I'm North American. Yeah, North American is my culture. Okay, no, we got the United States, we got Canada, we got Mexico, we got, you know, we've got all different kinds of continents. We don't even know exactly where you come from. So don't try to sit here and claim an entire continent, because then there's so many different countries, so many different cultures, and all this other stuff. You know what I mean?
Right. So someone from Egypt should and could take a real issue with coming here and seeing a black man claiming pharaoh status, something which he knew nothing about, and something where if his DNA blood were to be examined, would show he was nowhere near Egypt, anywhere in his genealogical makeup.
Exactly.
Feel me?
And you know,
let's take it to Craig,
he's
a hater. Okay. No, finish your thought, and then we'll take it to Craig.
Oh well, just to wrap up what I was saying. Basically, and I think this is in general for everybody in America, you know, we're all speaking the language of our conquerors. You know, all the people that came over here, you know, to the Americas, as far as like the French, the Spaniards, the Portuguese, the English, we're all mixed up, everybody over here. You know, and eventually over time, we all became an American culture, you know, because everybody's just thrown into the mix and everybody's all just kind of mixed up, you know, not necessarily a melting pot. I call it a salad bowl, but you know, it's really, it's over here, and the rest of the world, the rest of the countries, whatever, they're looking at us, and they're looking at us like we're crazy. Because, you know, we're not about us. The only people that was original was the American Indians that were, you know, slaughtered, you know, over the centuries. Those are the original people over here in America. We're not original people.
Right.
At least not over here.
Right.
Now,
and every Native American you see is not claiming to be the king and queen of the chiefdom.
Right. They're
not
saying that their bloodline was all chiefs and things. They're you know, people from the tribe. Yeah, they're not all claiming that bloodline. Some of them can.
Well, there's something I want to add, too. Like, if we're really all about our culture and talking about we're kings and queens, our actions and really what we built would reflect that. And what you see right now is a deficit of individuals who just want to be kings and queens by name alone and not by actions or something.
Yep.
Well, the only thing I disagree with you on that is that the ones that were brought here have shown that they were damn near genius. The inventions that we came up with when we were given the materials show that our intellect was definitely higher. Now, I'm not saying that everybody on the continent is dumb and we was the smart ones. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that something happened in that middle passage to those who shared that experience, that when we got on this soil, something happened where our creativity, our mind, but then you take years of people taking your ideas, misappropriating your culture, stealing your inventions, claiming it as their own.
Mm-hmm.
That does something to the psyche as well. We are a genius people. We don't have to claim something that is not ours to be great. We can look at what we have just done on this soil to understand how beautiful and great we are. I don't need to claim a kingdom or a queendom to know that I'm fucking great. I can just look around and see the motherfucking peanut butter was black. Craig G.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to say devil's advocate inside with you, Boogie. And that is, there's a lot of people in these countries in Africa that do appropriate our culture, too, because they see what you just said, what we are and how we act and how we conduct ourselves. And they look at that and say, I want to be like that. There's a lot of people in those countries that dream about that, and they try to move to the United States so they can have that quote-unquote American dream themselves. So
that's interesting.
You have that as well.
Craig, let's go ahead and get to Craig.
And I was going to say that, in conjunction with your point, Boogie, it's deeper than just the intelligence that we've shown. The black community in America, the survivors of the slavery Holocaust, are some of the strongest people in the world, because who else would have been able to survive and survive as we have? Now, we are not by any means in any great position in the world, but we are still here despite everything that they have done to us. And that in of itself speaks to who we are and speaks to the strength that we have. Now, for this article, I think the author is she's blaming us incorrectly, because Africa in of itself is still a colonized continent, and it's not colonized by black Americans. And so there are no black Americans over there bringing back fashion and anything else from the continent and selling it back on this continent. That is white America, or white Europeans. That's white people doing what they have always done on the continent, which is steal their crap, bring it back, and make money off of it. That is not black Americans. That is white people again. Now, what she's doing is just jumping on the bandwagon and feeling like and getting away with blaming black Americans for something else. Everybody wants to blame black Americans for something. Leave us the hell alone if you're not helping us. If you're not helping us, then shut the hell up. Okay?
Hater. Do not be messing with hater. Okay?
I mean, let's look at this for real. What is she really talking about? What can we do? If we are misappropriating her culture, then what should we do? We didn't make it. We didn't buy it. Well, I mean, we bought it. We didn't make it, and we're not making money off of it. We are purchasing it. I'm not saying it's the right thing for us to be doing, but it is not us at the root cause.
Well, can
everyone needs to look at the root cause of what's going on and not just look at the victim. Black Americans in this day and age are still the victim. Period.
I got a question when you finish.
Ask away.
Can we accuse them of misappropriating our black American culture when they show up in the clubs with them hot-ass suits on?
We're not going to do that.
I'm just saying.
We are not
y'all
going
seen
to
the
do
suits?
It.
Y'all seen the suits?
Alone.
You know it was dead wrong.
We're here anyway. We might as well.
No,
I mean,
there's a point.
Blend into a culture. Comedy aside, being funny, being silly aside, they're trying to blend into our culture. And as Boogie said in the beginning of this show, that is something that's entirely unique to us that we created. We had to create basically our own culture. So now you're going to try to come in and you're going to try to assimilate into our black American culture. And shouldn't we be looking at you crazy? Like, you wearing Jordans and you got an Adidas sweatsuit. What the hell is going on? You know? I'm just saying. And we give them that same look. Like, this not what you about, dude. You know?
Do you guys think... Okay, go ahead, Craig, and then I have a question for Pam.
Look, homegirl has an opinion, and that's fine, but that's all it is. It's an opinion. It carries no weight. It means absolutely nothing. And she is basically just trying to make a name for herself, again, off of the back of black Americans.
Yeah.
Like I said, leave us alone. And, I mean, because really, what is she doing? She's doing the same thing that white people are doing. Let's blame the black people. So isn't she misappropriating something? Look,
right.
Everybody does something that everyone is doing something that someone else has done to try and make a name for themselves, get a little bit of money for themselves, do this, do that. Because at the end of the day right now, it's all about survival. So stop. She needs to just stop.
So on that note,
do you guys think that this is a situation than anything else? I mean, out of all the things she could have wrote about.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I
mean,
things
exactly
that could have brought together
mm-hmm.
Black Americans and African Americans and Africans, because we do have true African Americans who are here. You have Black Americans and you have mm-hmm. Africans who
yeah.
are all connected via DNA.
I see.
Do you think that this might have been just a little bit divisive? And if so, what do you think her motivation was in this?
Hmm.
Oh, I just spoke on her motivation. She's trying to make a name for herself.
Well, I would agree with Craig there.
Well, that she did. She did.
Hey, I'm going to disagree with both of y'all. No offense.
I would agree with Craig only because that's when you seem to get the most attention. If you happen to be a Black person and you poo-poo or wave your finger and say, and don't do that to something that Black culture is doing, that's when you seem to gain the most notoriety. You seem to go viral. Everybody's paying attention because they're like, oh, one of them is saying it. And that's the impression that I get, is that one of them is saying it. Yes, you know, they're saying what we're thinking, you know, so they kind of get behind it and they share it and they
true.
Talk about it. It must be true because this Black person here is saying the same thing to their Black American people that they know. So, you know, that's exactly what we were thinking. So I feel that in a sense, yeah, you are getting notoriety. And as Boogie said, of all the things that you could have talked about, you could have talked about not just the people, Black American people are wearing these African garbs and using, you know, these symbols or whatever. Talk about the fact that most of them that are wearing these things are not buying them mass produced. Most of these people who are wearing these African garments and head wraps are buying it directly from the person. They're buying the fabric from this person who owns a shop that's selling nothing but African fabric. That's what 125th Street, some of these places you can't even get into because there's so many people going in there, and they have the fabric, and they are African themselves, and that is their store. And they feel that they're supporting a Black-owned business. I'm supporting your craft. So they're not, in a sense, going to buy it from some mass produced thing. Like, it's not like they rolling up in Zara and they like, yeah, I'm gonna buy a dashiki from Zara. Boo boo, that ain't gonna happen because they don't have it.
Some of them do.
Some of them do have
I've
prints
seen,
that
yeah,
that are
they,
similar.
They are now incorporating African prints into runway shows.
But why are they doing that?
It's becoming, you know, and they're using the wrong symbols.
Huh?
They're using East African symbols, West Africa, this tribe or that tribe. They don't get along. I mean, it is a complete misappropriation.
But why
culture,
are they doing
completely.
It? They're doing it because we are going to these people that look like us, and we are buying this, and we're rocking it. And that's why they're doing it. I'm trying to give y'all what y'all want. I'm trying to get in on that dollar that you're spending elsewhere. I want that dollar.
Well, we definitely rock it and make it look good. I would say that much.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Like I said, no offense, I disagree. I really do.
Okay, Glove, expound on it.
Well, the issue is not about who we're buying it from. It's why we are doing it. I'm a firm believer of not. You are African regardless of what you wear. You are who you are regardless of how you look out on the outside. I mean, just be you. And granted, we can say all kinds of things that countries in Africa, people in Africa are doing, and they're doing some things that we say, yo, y'all need to chill. Y'all messing up yourselves. Y'all making yourselves look embarrassing and everything like that. We can't say that, but at the same time, we got to look at ourselves in the mirror. And I believe in wholehearted anything that is like a controversial, that is a stir pocket, say, yo. Because before that, we wasn't thinking about, hey, are we really being mindful of how people are in these countries and what we wear and how we dress and what we do and how we symbol? A lot of this, and are we really doing our research and everything like that? I mean, I don't give a damn where the store is, where it's been mass produced or whatever like that. I'm worried about our consciousness and how we think and how we behave and how we act. You know? You know, I mean, and this is why, and the reason why I say this, because you go to somewhere like Haiti or go somewhere like Jamaica, They created their own culture. They were brought in as slaves just as us, just like us. The difference is their consciousness and their mindset in relation to Africa and respect to Africa, and they've created their own culture and lived by it and mass-produced their own shit. We don't. We don't have own goddamn thing. The white man do. I'm tired. Another thing is, I'm tired of being on the defense as well. They always point at us. It's always the black man's fault. Sometimes it is. We need to shut the hell up ourselves and look at ourselves in the mirror and say, "Hey, look. Why don't we be and conduct ourselves as we are, where as Americans or whatever the hell you want to call yourself, be who you are. Be you, not them." Then when you say you're you and yourself, then you have that right to say, "Hey, look, you're out of line." But when you see a group of us, you see your homie right there in a dashiki and all that stuff, making up a fake name and don't even know the spirituality behind it, don't know that is a family name that passed on to generations, you just want to hijack that? No, that's no. We got to check ourselves sometimes. And sometimes some people that's from that on native land need to put that in and make an address. Even if they may be, let me finish. Even if they may be misconfused and misguided on some things, but the point is still made. And it's sparked up a conversation that we need to have to step back, look in the mirror, and say, "Hey, look, maybe we need to make sure whatever we do is in respect of whatever we're trying to represent."
Glove,
I
can
agree on
that. I just
want
you to calm down before you have an aneurysm.
I agree.
That vein in your neck is really getting
big. I'm sorry, because this is a precipice. If we are a people and we want to be united, then we have to be mindful of our actions and how we conduct ourselves with the other people that is our brother and sister across the daggone pond. We have to.
That's true.
I mean, I don't care about it. If you want to buy stuff and say, "Hey, this is nice," whatever, be mindful. That's one thing. I know. If you want to wear African garb, that's one thing. But if you want to wear stuff that is resembling or represents what their culture, their heritage, their lifeline, then you got to either live it, get the okay, the cosign or something, or do your homework and research. I mean, you got to live how you are and not just have it as a passing phase because now you read some book and now you're Afrocentric all of a sudden. That's all.
Yeah, and we have seen a lot of examples of people reading one book and all of a sudden everything is Hotep.
They became
Amun Ra, and all of a sudden my name is Hassan X. If you don't go sit your ass down somewhere.
I appreciate it.
It's not that simple.
You know,
it's not that easy. And someone from that culture would definitely be offended.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Those people who do that, they don't annoy me as much as they annoy other people because I appreciate your enthusiasm and your zest that you want to know and identify with what you read and the people that you've studied. I appreciate that. Don't hit me over the head with it, and I'm not going to hotep you every 5 seconds, but I appreciate that you're enthusiastic and you want to learn more and you want to identify with this culture, so I appreciate it. It doesn't annoy me as much. I don't see it as, you know, I don't really get that critical of them and be like, "Boy, you know."
Well, it's different when you have, like, you know, I know I get confronted by a lot of fake conscious people a lot, and I know Glove does get that a lot, too.
That's because maybe
and
because I
you're
just
talking,
don't
I mean,
damn,
I
know?
Am, I wouldn't say I'm quote-unquote Afrocentric. I just have knowledge of self. I'm cool with me, and that's all I need to be. I don't need to claim kings and queens and all this other crap. I could wear weave. I could wear natural. I could do what the fuck I want.
You sure
I'm cool
wear
with
weave.
Me. I'm
well,
whole.
I've always,
you know what I'm saying?
I've always had that
I'm
position.
I'm a whole
so
person,
they...
and I don't need that.
Did you
but
say you're a
when
whole?
I come across, I'm a whole person. You know what I'm saying? But now when I yell at you, I'm wrong. Now when I start hollering, I'm wrong.
But once you have that stance,
anyway,
I feel like they don't confront you as much. Once you explain that that's
oh, no.
Wrong.
Oh, no.
I feel
once
like they,
you,
well, maybe
you cool,
it happens to
if
me.
You,
that,
hold on. Let me say this. Let me say this. If you cool with yourself, that's when people really start coming for you. When you real cool with your shit, that's when people come for you. That's when people have a problem and want to change how you talk to other people. How, like, you should be representing this. You should be doing it this way. You can't make fun of this. You can't talk about the Lord. You can't make fun of church people. You can't not be down with the African Methodist. You can't be down with. They're like, nah, son, I'm cool. What do you mean? How you gonna be talking Black Power when you got a weed? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm cool.
I'm a black American. You know, exactly. Like, I never had that problem where people will try to come at me like that. But like I said, maybe because they know I just don't give a damn. Go that way with that. You're not gonna mess with my head and say, oh, I should be this and I should be that, because I'm gonna do things how I see fit in my own time. So you and your Hotep brothers and the African Methodist, I don't care what you think I should be doing, because I'm still the same person.
I don't know if it's because of the platform that we do or because I run the ship, but I get it all the time with people trying to push that agenda. And it's so easy to see through them when they say, you know, you a queen from Africa. You represent the best of Egypt. Like, the fuck is you talking about, son?
You're like, really?
My features are clearly West African. Are you out your goddamn mind?
Like, I just look at them. Some of them, I just, you know, I'm like, really? Okay. And a lot of them use that as a way to, you know, they trying to holler. So then they like, oh, the ancestors told me.
No, these people are, it's just like the religious fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like the religious fanatics. So in that aspect, I can see where this chick would say, you know what, could y'all get off?
Well, yeah, in that aspect, I can agree with her.
But in her error, what she has done is she has put that stigma on all of Black America instead of this small subset.
Right.
Of African zealots.
But you know, there's another problem here. There's another problem with her article, and that biggest problem is that she admits that this is a very minor issue.
Yeah,
and
she says it's petty.
In her admittance of this being minor, why did she even bring it up?
Mm-hmm.
Why did she
and
even
that's why
write
I
the
asked
article?
You guys. That's why I asked you guys. What do you think the motivation was? Because we've known that there's plants, and you know that there's certain things that set the Black community on fire, especially when we're just at the cusp of coming together about certain things. Then they'll push something out there into the thing and say, you know what? Here you go. They'll start arguing about this.
Mm-hmm.
Distract everybody. Because
exactly.
Right now, this is all everybody is talking about.
Hey, but why not? It's better to address it head on than pretend it's not existing, and let some of these people that's running around here thinking there's one way and they're not. It's better to address it head on, in my opinion. I'm a supporter of anything that is controversial. The people that say, oh, do not talk about that. Ooh, then we might divide. Bring that, address that stuff. We don't need to sweep stuff under the rug. That's how racism is filtering. So in this segregation anyway, because everybody wants to sweep it on the rug, don't want to talk about things head on. They're afraid to talk about it. So even though it may sound petty, it may sound minor, and she admits that it may sound minor, hey, if it's on her mind, she wants to address it, so be it. That's what I
agree with
say
you
right
100%, Glove. Hold on 1 second, guys. We got two, three minutes left on the show. So to piggyback on what Glove just said, I too am glad that this came out. I do believe in confronting shit head on. It allows us to look at it, take whatever truths we can, and then now offer our practical solution. So let's go around the table, give our final thoughts, our practical solution, and wrap it up. Ms. Nick Fatale,
okay.
Final thoughts and practical solution.
Try. Don't be so enthusiastic when you read one book. Don't try to change your whole life because
Word.
You read one book. You can't do that. Try and get as much knowledge as you can about the specific region that you want to study. Study each region. Study each country. Study all of that. Don't just focus on one thing and decide that's who you're going to be. Because
no, get
reads,
a DNA test and figure
four.
Out what your region is and then go from there.
But
everybody's claiming Egypt.
That's true. But also, you know, You could study. You don't just have to study just because your DNA guides you to that one place and they say this is where your ancestors came from. You could just study because you're interested in it. You don't have to study just because that's where they're saying you come from. And plus, I don't like to share my DNA out with anybody. I'm not sending my blood nowhere. Get up out of here. You know, no, nah.
Man,
nah,
please, no. Some
nah,
of them
nah.
need to do it. It is brothers
some of them
out here walking around with full-fledged.
Think...
It's brothers walking out here with full-fledged pharaoh tattoos on their back.
That's true. That is also
yeah.
true.
Fuck
but like
here.
I said,
fuck
you
out
know,
of here.
They need to be less enthusiastic about perpetuating a myth, like, you know, taking on a false persona. Don't be so enthusiastic about that. Be enthusiastic about gaining the knowledge so that you know what you're doing. And speaking, try speaking with someone from that region. Try speaking with someone, an African-American man that just came from Africa. Try talking to them and see what their life is about before you start trying to assimilate and trying to build a whole new persona around what you learned from one book.
There you have it. Ronan. Final thoughts and practical solutions.
Well, I say aside from, you know, what Nick Patel said, you know, besides picking up a book, find out what you can find about your culture and see what you can pass down to your children so that they'll have some pride in not just where they came from but where they're going. And the other part is, like, just mainly redefine your things and rites of passage when it comes to our children, because that's why sometimes we have a lot of problems here, because we don't have any measures of the transition to man. I mean, from boyhood or girlhood to manhood, or adulthood, really. So, you know, that would help out a great deal. But that's what I would suggest.
Right. Gotcha. Glove. Final thoughts on a practical solution.
I'm not going to repeat what everybody else is saying. I'm going to say, if you can possibly find a way to save up, do a GoFundMe, do something to save up and take a trip to any of these countries in Africa.
Yeah.
Do what like Malcolm
true.
Did.
Very true.
Do like Malcolm did. And get and be and have your eyes open. I know a lot of people that whenever they take a trip, anywhere in Africa, any of the 53, 54 countries, colonized countries that's there, they come back and say, hey, I didn't know shit. I thought I knew everything until I got there, and their
that's
whole mindset
fact.
Actually is an enlightenment. So if you can, try
yeah.
to at least find a way to save up enough coin
that's a
to
great
make
solution.
That trip.
That's a great solution. Go there. Go and experience.
Juan, let's get your final thoughts and practical solution.
My final thought, no practical solution, is, you know, I get the Gloves idea, and that is a great idea to do that. If you're able to do that, you know, go to Africa, spend that time out there and get to know the culture and wherever you go out there in Africa, you know, and come back with a deep understanding and come back and tell other people about what you saw out there.
Mm-hmm.
But also keep in mind, too, also, what we got going on over here, okay? We over here in America now. We as the black culture over here in America, we've done great things. There's so many inventions that we have done. You know, the invention of the blood bank, first open heart surgery. We got like Billy was saying about the guy with the peanut and everything. We have so much culture over here as far as us as black Americans and the great things that we've done for this country and built
this
country.
You know why I
created great
George Washington problems.
Yeah.
Let him finish his point.
If we over here, as far as like the stuff that we do over here, if it wasn't for us making the contributions to this country, this place would be fucking down the toilet. They know we put in that up in here. We made contributions to this country.
I love Juan.
Yes.
I love him.
Yes.
Y'all have no idea. That's
so
my
we got everybody? Did we get everybody?
No.
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 I'm joking, hater. Shut up. It's your love. Hater. Hater. Final
yes.
thoughts on the topic and practical solution.
I applaud Glove's solution. I think that is great. I would add that maybe you don't even have to go as far as going to Africa, but get off your damn block, first of all, thinking you know every damn thing. Mofos haven't even been out the damn state.
and Glove talking about get a passport and go to Africa. First, they need to travel to Florida. Shit.
Dang.
And second to that, I would say, you know, instead of, you know, if you look at your skin and you can identify with Black Americans, then let's try and not be so divisive. Let's not try to attack each other. Let's start working together. The biggest issue we have in our community is we always are attacking each other. And yes, we need to check each other, and I don't disagree with that, but like my mother always taught me, you check each other in private. You don't check each other in public, okay? If there's an issue inside the house, if there's an issue inside the family, you take care of that privately. Everybody doesn't need to know that there's an issue, all right? So that was something that she needed to bring about in a different way, okay? Not saying we can't address all of these issues, but we do not need to air our dirty laundry in the public eye, as we are always doing. That just gives them more ammunition to attack us with, and that's why they are lining up saying, see, look what this Black person said. See, look what this Black person said. We need to be more united. We need to present one line, one united front, and then, and only then, will things start to change in our favor.
No doubt. Well said. I think I loved the practical solution from all of the madmen tonight. And I really want you guys to take it to heart, madmen, when you think about this topic and you share it and you discuss it amongst yourselves. My practical solution would be this. Love your Black self. There is no other race like you. None. I mean, you really need to let that sink in. I was abroad a couple of years ago, and that's when it really sank. And I would always love being Black. I always loved being a Black American. But it didn't sink in how unique and precious you and I are as Black people until I went abroad and I met Africans and I met Europeans. And I was in that circumference. And I never longed for home as much as I did, as I ever did. And this is coming from someone who understands, you know, hey, yes, my ancestry is African. But I am born and bred of the struggle here. And
indeed,
that created a strength and a monster inside of all of us. And even the most ratchet of us possess it. You need to learn to fall in love with your Black self and stop claiming that which you do not know of. If you can't figure it out, let it go. You have enough culture, history, and enough to be proud of here, and that's why we always stress Black History Month. We don't call it African History Month. We call it Black History Month. We focus on what we have done here so that we can begin to be proud and carry ourselves and remember who we are. Fall in love with yourself, and then explore your other African heritages and cultures and all of that. But you're not going to do that until you love yourself first. And that means accepting that you are a Black American. And then you add on from there. So, Mad Men, listen. Oh, listen, before we head out.
We back. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Before we head out, yes, we back, babe. We back. And to boot, we got to say special shout out to our guest. We don't know what happened to him, and call drop or whatever.
bring it up old shit.
No, I have to say this because he done, you know, he sent me a message and said that we was making fun of him. When
we were.
That wasn't the case. You know, I really hate. No, y'all was making fun of me because I said the dildo story, and y'all, we thought he left because of me. So, whatever. He got bad feelings. We don't. We all about love and laughter around here. If you can't take a joke, get a tough skin, boo-boo. We still love you. You know what I'm saying? I'm the one. I was the brunt of that joke, Mr. Charles Clark. So whatever, we still going to promote you. Go check him out. I don't know what he does, but go find him. Go check him out. Look him up on Facebook. Charles Clark. time shit for that one. You're really going to be mad. Listen, I was trying to find out what he did. He never called back in. And then he writes me and says that we was making fun of him. Nah, boo, they was making fun of me. So anyway, I say all that to say, Mr. Charles Clark, we love you. You probably hate us. We don't care. It's all love here. Now, if you can't take a little ribbon, I don't know. Now you're going to have to take that up with your Lord and Savior. And them, all right. But meanwhile, this is the Madman Family. We bring it to you real each and every week, Tuesday at 10 p.m. Go check out Charles Clark. We're trying to try to find his info and put it up for you guys. You can go check out what he does and so on and so forth. And we'll check it out too. Figure out what the hell he's coming on the show for.
No
yeah,
chill.
Sure wasn't real, though.
No chill. No chill.
No chill.
We love you, man. And next week, we're talking about Farrakhan, the 100 million man march anniversary, his demands, justice or else. You know we're going to talk about it. You know we're going to see if we need to put a case on one of our favorite people, Farrakhan or not. It's going to be a great show next week. Tune in. YUMadSun.com. Welcome back, baby. Welcome back, Madman. We'll see y'all next week. Holla.